How many of you are friends of Indiana Jones, like those movie series? Well, this morning we're going to actually start off by taking a look at one of the clips from Indiana Jones. And let me give you the setting. This Indiana Jones and his father were searching for the Holy Grail. And they finally came to the place where they could find it. The only problem is Indy's dad just got shot. And he's dying. And the Holy Grail, if you know the thought, is supposedly that's Christ's cup on Thursday when he had the Last Supper. And if you drink from the cup, you will have eternal life. So here's Indy's dad, he's dying, but if he can get the cup, he can be restored and have eternal life. And so we find Indy ready to go get the cup. The only problem is there's a huge chasm. And with that, Kevin? Is Indiana Jones' leap of faith your kind of hope? Do you cross your fingers and hope that will be a bridge to the other side of life? And what lies on the other side? Is your hope excited for what lies ahead? This morning, I want to talk about hope. I want to talk about this word. It seems like it's uncertain. It brings doubts, questions, hope. Then I want to talk about the joy that hope supposedly brings because who you hope in. And then finally, I want to talk about what our hope is for. Mark Olson, 2 weeks ago, talked about the book of Romans and how what a great book it is. And I tell you that the sermon today could use all those chapters. Hope and joy show up in all of them. But if you look in your bulletins, we're going to read from Romans, and I inserted a little bit more. Romans chapter 5, verses 2 to 5, as well as Romans 8, 16 to 25. Hear the word of the Lord. Romans 5, 2 to 5. We rejoice in hope of sharing the glory of God. Not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. And this hope will not put us to shame, because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit who has been given to us. And then jumping over to Romans 8, 16 to 25. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. For I consider that the sufferings of this present time are not worth comparing with the glory that is to be revealed to us. For the creation waits with eager longings for the revealing of the sons of God. For the creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that the creation itself will be set free from bondage to corruption and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. For we know that the whole creation has been groaning together in pains of childbirth until now. And not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit groan inwardly as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, the redemption of our bodies. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope, for who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope for what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Maybe not. Anyway, we'll move on. So, the word of God. Let's go to prayer. Father, I just pray that hope would abound through your word, that this is my... The words that come out of my mouth would be yours, Holy Spirit, that you would be here amongst us, that all of this time and preparation was coming from you, stirred by you, initiated by you, and now will be made known by you. Give ears to hear your word. In Jesus Christ we pray. Amen. Funny how God lays something on your heart that encourages you to pursue his word. And I tell you, the word for today is hope. I find it to be a strange word, hope, when we're talking about spiritual things. Hope. Did you ever think that your hope that your future was hanging on hope, or do you rest in hope? I think Indiana Jones, who we just saw, I think his hope hung on hope. I think when he took that step out, he was sweating bullets. He had no clue if there was going to be a bridge to the other side of life. Does hope describe your future? What is the story with hope? So I went to the dictionary, right? Hope is an optimistic state of mind that is based on an expectation of positive outcomes with respect to events and circumstances in one's life or the world at large, the future. Expect with confidence and to cherish a desire with anticipation. Still sounds like, again, from the definition, there's uncertainty. I'm not sure about things coming. I have to cross my fingers. I got to take the leap with Indy, unsure about what's to come. I had a conversation with Todd. I said, Todd, what's the deal? Why does the Bible all throughout use this word hope? Why does it use the word assurance? And I don't know if you looked in your Bible today. When Bremen was up, we read the word of what? Not hope. We read the word of assurance. Now, what's with that? So Todd, giving him his good advice, and says, that's something that sounds like you should pursue. So someone came up and asked you today, what would happen when you die? What would you say? Would you say, I hope I'm going to heaven? That sure doesn't sound very confident. That sure doesn't sound like the words of a Christian. So I started with the word faith. I thought, you know, this hope and this faith, they sound like two common things. And I found in Hebrews 11, it says, now faith is the assurance. There's my word, assurance, not hope, assurance. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for. All right? I can't get away from it. Now faith is the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. What I found out that faith is our larger picture. It is our belief system in total. Faith includes the past of what we believe in, the presence of what we believe in, and the future of what we believe in. We believe in the past, God's creation. We believe in the presence, the Holy Spirit, working in our hearts and our minds. How else would you have chosen Christ if the Holy Spirit hadn't been working in your body, in your mind? And we have hope that focuses on the future, faith. In the future. When we talk about faith in the future, we're talking about hope. And when we talk about the future, though, I still get this unknown. We don't know what lies ahead for us. We don't know the outcomes of our future. And that is typically how we use the word hope, right? I'll give you an example. I hope that the Orioles will win the pennant this year. Well, maybe that's a bad example. There's no uncertainty there, I guess, huh? Let me give you another one. I hope that the Korean summit will bring peace and prosperity and well-being to the world. I hope for a positive outcome, but yet we don't know. There's uncertainties with this. This issue of hope, we can't see it, we can't prove it, and we can't hold on to it. And you know, as I was thinking about this, this is probably the major stumbling block for non-believers. There's no formula. There's no mathematical equation. Nothing you can hold on to physically. But that's not the biblical hope, the distinctive biblical hope. Biblical hope is confident, a confident expectation, certain and definite. Okay, if that's true, then where is the assurance again? Where's the certainty? Because, again, I can't find the mathematical equation in the Bible. Biblical hope is based off of moral certainty. And what's moral certainty? Moral certainty is based on character and will. Whoever you hope in, your hope is in their character to know right from wrong. And not only to know right from wrong, it's also based off the will to do what is right. Moral certainty. Boy, we could really have a field day today talking about moral certainty in our world, couldn't we? Everything's relativism. There is no moral certainty. But I digress. Moral certainty. When you were married and you married your spouse, were you certain that you would never divorce? Were both of you morally strong in character when you repeated your vows? When Lynn and I got married, I was unbelievably immature. I couldn't even spell the word moral. And though Lynn and I were convinced that we did not want to get divorced, Vegas had us down for 65-35 that we would stay married. And that was pretty good because my friends were just the opposite. They had us down for 35-65 until they met Lynn, and then the odds actually improved a little. But you know, as the years went by, as troubles and hardships were encountered, as anger and fights were weathered, our relationship grew. When our relationship with Jesus Christ grew, when we decided to put him on the throne of our life rather than ourselves, when we decided to honor our vows, moral certainty, when we decided to honor our vows to one another, to serve one another rather than our selfish self, all of a sudden the odds in Vegas started to improve. We became morally certain that this issue of divorce would not enter into our relationship. Our certainty was built on trials and suffering. It was built on perseverance throughout the years. It was built on the hope in Jesus Christ. Our reading today from Romans 5:2 says, "We rejoice in our suffering because suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope." Biblical hope comes from suffering and perseverance. Why? To prove what it is you hope in. That it endures, that it's trustworthy, tried and true. There's no better chapter on this than Romans 4. You probably know this chapter. It has to do with Abraham. And here's a really cool passage. I'm going to read from Romans 4, verse 18. In hope, Abraham believed against hope. In hope, Abraham believed against hope. Did you pick that up? That he should be the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. Abraham did not weaken in faith, hope, when he considered his own body, which was as good as dead since he was about 100 years old, or when he considered the barrenness of Sarah's womb. You know this story. Abraham was about 100 years old, and Sarah was about 90. And they were told they were going to have a child. Who are they kidding? 100 years old, 90. Hope for children at that age? That's like our hope in the Orioles. You can hope all you want, but it ain't happening. But notice his words. Notice Abraham's words. In hope, Abraham believed against hope. Sounds like a contradiction. Let's start with the beginning. In hope. What kind of hope? This is spiritual hope. This is moral certainty hope. It's in who he is trusting his life in. It's moral certainty hope. In that hope, Abraham believed against hope, the world's hope, the hope in the Oriole kind of hope, the cross your fingers, the leap of Indy. He didn't want that kind of hope. He wanted moral certainty type of hope. And it is in that hope he believed. In hope, Abraham believed against hope that he should be the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. It goes on to say, no unbelief made him waver when he considered the promise of God, but he grew strong in his faith, fully what? Convinced that God could do what he promised. Abraham is the model of hope. His hope was sure. His hope was built on perseverance. His hope was certain. This is hope. This is moral certainty. When the world questions your hope, what's your response? When suffering falls on your family, just think of Job. when people question, why does a loving God allow you to suffer? How does your hope respond? Does it respond like Abraham? Is not Abraham's God your God? Do you not know him? He has the t-shirt. He's been there. He's done that. He came. He suffered. He persevered. He did everything he's asking you to do. We know the character of God. Tried and true, faithful, holy, eternal, never changes. We can trust in him. He is our rock. Our hope is built on moral certainty. The moral certainty of one, the character of Jesus Christ. He not only knew right from wrong, but he lived it. He had no sin. So he had the character, but did he have the will to do the character? All I tell you is go check out a place called Calvary. He walked the walk, a walk that we will never have to walk because of his suffering. Two, biblical certainty rests on God's word that has been given to us. We know it to be holy and true, without error. The God of character has revealed himself to us. We know him. We know his power. We know his miracles. We know his love for us. Three, we know the power of the working of the Holy Spirit. He works in our hearts, in our minds. He is responsible for giving us new birth. He brings us from death to life. And we know his promises. He has demonstrated to us that what he says, he does. And what has he told us? That he goes to prepare a place for us. And there we will share in his glory for eternity. And not only that, the work of the apostles and the prophets, men who gave and dedicated their lives to preach God's word, to make known the gospel. And not only did they live their entire lives to this, but they gave their lives, many of them, for this message. Who gives their lives for a message that is uncertain? And five, and while hope cannot be seen, we certainly can see what God has already done for us. We rise in the morning and open our eyes to what God has prepared for us. The heavens declare the glory of God. The skies proclaim the work of his hands. Day after day, they pour forth speech. Night after night, they reveal knowledge. They have no speech. They use no words. No sound is heard from them. Yet their voice goes out to all the earth, their words to the end of the world. And the world is maintained perfectly. Every day, 24 hours, we wake to light. He gives us light. He gives us air to breathe, nourishment to sustain us. We rise every day in the certainty how our physical world will work. Do you take all that in? Does it cause you to worship? The God of creation and all he has made, do you see it? His word, the truth. His life, perfect without sin. His sacrifice for you. And not only his sacrifice, but his victory of life. And his spirit that works in you and encourages you and leads you. Are you certain in your hope yet? Our hope is certain because it lies on the character of Jesus Christ, who does not change like shifting shadows. He is constant, never changing, eternal, all-powerful, all-loving. Is he your hope? A far cry, I'd say, from crossing your fingers and taking a leap with Indiana Jones, hoping that there is a bridge to the other side of life. Jesus is our hope. He is our bridge to the other side. Hope. What I found is, what a wonderful word it is. And second, what is the joy that comes from hope? Our scripture said, we rejoice, joy, in suffering, because we know that suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character, hope. And this hope will not put us to shame. I'm sorry, I thought I was talking about joy, and somebody brings in suffering. I thought joy equaled happiness. I started this whole search based off of not understanding hope, and I thought I was getting that pretty well. But then I jumped to joy, and I find there's another word I don't understand, so to the dictionary I went. Joy, the emotion evoked by well-being, shalom, peace, or by the prospect of possessing what one desires, delights in. I'm sorry, did you see the word happiness anywhere in that definition of joy? Happiness depends on happening. It isn't joy. We may be happy today, but I can guarantee you that life will show up tomorrow. And that may not bring happiness. Your happiness may be replaced with pain and suffering. The joy can remain, though, even in this pain and suffering. It doesn't have to be phony either. It doesn't have to be a facade. It doesn't have to be bite your lip and smile through this. I'm talking about true joy, deep down in your soul. It's easy to be happy when everything is going your way, but that's not life. Well-being in the face of suffering and dealing with this world, that's joy. Peace, shalom in this world, facing its challenges. I'll say one thing about Christianity. If there's one thing that's true, it doesn't sugarcoat the truth. This world is hard. It requires endurance. And who better to know that than Paul? Paul says, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race. I have kept the faith. Do you hear his words? What kind of life did he live? He said, I fought the good fight. That's what he did in his life. What was he fighting? Moral certainty, knowing good from bad. This relativism, he knew what was good, right or wrong. And what? Our fight is to do it, the will to carry out what you know to be right, not to be shaken to do something else. He fought the good fight. And not only that, he finished the race, a race, endurance. It was throughout all his life. And he kept the faith. Suffering, perseverance, it says, produces character. Is there no better person in the gospel than Peter when we talk about character? Why? I think Peter was a character. I mean, when we go to him in the gospel, he was definitely a character. But I tell you that Peter traded in being a character for having character. You know the story. Peter followed Jesus for 3 years. It came to that Thursday night, early Friday morning in the temple when Jesus was being harassed by the Pharisees, questioned. And a little girl goes up and says to Peter, you're one of his followers. You're one of his disciples. And what does he do? He cowers. He runs away. 3 times he was confronted. 3 times he rejected Jesus. Can you imagine the suffering of being Peter at that time and for the days and weeks and years to come? I don't think it ever left him. It's kind of like Paul. He talks about his suffering over persecuting Christians, something that stuck with him, his suffering. But I think that Peter begged for a second opportunity. He knew the pain that he had borne, the suffering. And he was looking for a second chance. And with Christ's resurrection, he had that second chance. And he would not let Jesus down. His life was about suffering, but his life was also about persevering, staying the course. And through that, Peter became, he had character. He would be that rock. Jesus could count on Peter to stand in the gap. So Peter's character grew in strength. His hope became sure and confident. You don't go through life with 1 foot in and 1 foot out when it comes to knowing whether you have hope and character. It's based off of the response when things happen. You feel it. You see the results. Are you a man or woman of character who walks the walk of Christ? Or do you buckle? You know, don't you? You know the truth. And I tell you, we need this hope because the road isn't easy that mankind has chosen. That's right. Mankind chose this road of sin, hurt, and pain that we go down. This body of flesh, Paul cries out, wretched man that I am, who will deliver this body from death? Paul was firsthand who knew suffering and pain and the consequences of sin, struggles and pain. But that wasn't what God intended for us. That wasn't his design. We chose that. I wonder if we truly understand sin. I wonder if we understand the choice that we made back in the garden and we continue to make. We have free will and we chose poorly and we continue to choose poorly. We rebelled against God and became his enemy. Adam chose the apple. Cain chose to kill his brother. Judas chose the 30 pieces of silver. We choose to lie and not honor our word if we're in trouble, if it possibly could advance our career, or if it possibly could get us more money. We covet our neighbor's new car or house. We hoard our wealth and possessions. We don't associate with certain types of people. We choose, and there were and are consequences that fell on all of mankind. Why do loved ones die when it's not their time? Why does cancer infect and kill our bodies? Why do drugs addict and take our loved ones? It's sin. There are consequences for our actions, and consequences fall on the good and the bad. There is no differentiation. Why do you think God hates sin? He knows the consequences, and he knows the painful solution to the problem of sin, his son. My friend who we prayed for several weeks ago, who lost his son to depression, I met with him, we talked. He's a man of faith, and I said to my friend, his son who committed suicide, he was a student of my dad's at Calvert Hall. He played in the band. He played the piano and played it well. And in fact, he became a piano teacher for his profession. And I said to my friend, I can't help but believe that when Joey went home, my dad was there. And I can't help but believe that my dad welcomed him. And there was a piano. And Joey played, and my dad danced. I can't believe that that isn't what happened when Joey went home. And my friend is confident that his son is in that place. There is no uncertainty. There is no doubt. He lives in the character of believing in Jesus Christ. And you know what? It's just not us who are in pain. But listen again to our scripture reading. Creation was subjected to futility, not willingly, but because of him who subjected it, in hope that it would free itself from the bondage of corruption, sinful man's choice, and obtain the freedom of the glory of the children of God. And we know that all creation has been groaning together with pains of childbirth until now. God's creation suffers. And why does it suffer? Because of our choice of sin. It groans, it dies. What a picture it has of contrast nature. We see the spring versus winter, the blooming of life in the spring and the death that comes with winter. All creation groans because of our sin, and there's no way back without hope. The life of sin we choose and continue to choose is hard. But in the midst of suffering and hardships, we have hope because of the hope that is in us. John Piper suggests that we should preach a sermon of hope to ourselves every day because of this tough road that we live. Psalm 42:5, why are you downcast, O my soul? And why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God. Suffering will come, but we can have joy, well-being in the hope of God. For nothing can separate us from the love of God through Jesus Christ our Lord. And I think this joy issue of perseverance is well summarized in Hebrews 12. Let us run endurance. Let us run with perseverance the race that is set out for us, looking to Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him, his hope, the joy and hope, for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Our hope is in Christ, and his character is without equal. Finally, what is our hope for? Our scripture says the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God, and if children, then heirs, heirs of God and fellow heirs with Christ, provided we what? We suffer with him in order that we may also be glorified with him. Did you hear that? Glorified with Jesus. I'd never thought about being glorified with Christ. And not only that, we are children of God, heirs of God. Ephesians goes on to say, I pray that the eyes of your heart may be enlightened in order that you may know the hope to which you have been called, the riches of his glorious inheritance. An inheritance, and not just any inheritance, the riches of his glorious inheritance. What did you do to deserve inheritance? What did you do to inherit glory? What in your life did you do to deserve that? And not only do we have glory, not only are we heirs of God, but Scripture goes on to say, and not only the creation, but we ourselves who have the first fruits of the Spirit grown inwardly, as we wait eagerly for adoption as sons, for what? For the redemption of our bodies. New bodies, without pain, without cancer, without oxygen tanks. Jenny Craig, you're out of business. Orthopedic surgeons, no more. Charlie is running the 100-yard dash. Nancy is breathing effortlessly. Are you kidding me? We're going to share in God's glory. I'm in heaven. What more could I ask for? No more pain, no more sin, a new body? That sounds pretty good. Stop there. But not our God. Our God says that we're going to share in the glory with Jesus. Pinch me. Have I died and gone to heaven? Yes. And not only that, there, right in front of us. We stand face to face with our Lord and Savior. That's hope. That is joy to preach to yourself every day of your life. That is glory. And finally, our scripture ends. For in this hope we were saved. Now hope that is seen is not hope. For who hopes for what he sees? But if we hope in what we do not see, we wait for it with patience. Our hope is in Christ. Our hope is in sharing in the glory of God. And now we rest in hope, knowing the glory to which we are called. Hope. What a wonderful word. What a wonderful promise. What a wonderful God. My hope is not in hope, but in Christ. I hope yours is as well. Let's pray. Father, I pray that we will leave today with joy in our hearts and minds, well-being, peace, because we know our hope is solid. It is secure because of the one that we hope in, Jesus Christ. May we delight in your glory and wait patiently for your return, for we hope in God. Amen.